Good morning and welcome to PSA Today. I'm your host, Jessica Levity. With me on today's show from Koinonia Foster Homes and Family Services, I have Associate Executive Director and Clinical Director, Sandy. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
And District Administrator, Angela. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
So tell me about, this is the first time Koinonia has been on the show, so give me the official mission statement of the agency.
We'll let Angela take the first one.
All right, sounds good. So our official mission statement is to provide the highest quality treatment level foster care and family service programs available for children, youth, and their families whose special needs can be met through services delivered, supervised, and supported by professional agency staff.
Perfect. Now, Sandy, off air, you told me that you have more of like a street one that you use.
We do, totally. So our executive director, Sam Golden, often says to bring hope and healing to abused and neglected children. And frankly, that's the one I remember. If you look at the first one, it's like I can't tell you what the mission statement is, but what we're doing day to day is exactly what we say.
That's beautiful. What's the history of the organization?
So Koinonia has been around for a really long time. We've been originally founded in California 34 years ago, and we've been in Nevada for 22 years. Our executive director, the original executive director for the agency, was a foster parent herself, Miriam Golden, and she was a foster parent for 27 years. Over those 27 years, she served 36 children in care, and she was so good at what she did that Placer County came to her and said, would you start an agency? This is back in the 80s when these kind of agencies didn't even exist, and so she was one of the industry designers of all the things that happen in treatment level foster care. They were just so good, and they were taking the hardest children, and this whole design of how an agency works is now a national model. Gradually we came into Nevada. Nevada did invite us in, Koinonia specifically, to start doing what we do here in Nevada. And what's unusual about Koinonia is the average length of time for a person to be a foster parent is 1 year. In Koinonia, we have parents for the 34 years in California and the 22 years in Nevada who have been with us the entire time.
Okay, so what? That's amazing, by the way. What do you think is making that difference?
Absolutely, the relationships that we create with people. The word Koinonia actually means to be in relationship with people. And I think that's what makes Koinonia different from any other agency. And we have other colleagues in the community. We respect everybody's work. But Koinonia looks at things differently from how other agencies are manifesting their business. Mm. So we can provide technical support to parents, but ultimately it's the emotional support that people get that puts them in a relationship. So people get to, they know you, they like you, they trust you. That's how a relationship is built. And then that long-term relationship and just being there for, we're on call 24/7. They know that we're on call 24/7. It takes a long time to even be licensed as a foster parent. By the time they're licensed, they've had a long-term relationship with us. It takes maybe 6 months or more. And we really know families and they really know us.
Right. So what is your personal background and how did you get involved with Koinonia and how long have you been there?
I am super excited to say that I just had my 20th anniversary.
Wow, congratulations.
And that was a huge deal to me. I don't know why it was so important, but there was something about that marker that I wanted to reach, and I was super teary for probably 2 months and definitely the week of my anniversary, and they were all very gracious in allowing me to just go over the story over and over and over again. But I had a background in working with children, and I had worked at another agency that was similar as far as providing family service type programs to kids, and I actually had a background in youth ministry. So I was a natural fit for what Koinonia was doing, and I am also a licensed marriage and family therapist. So that's how I landed there, and when I was hired, I expected to stay for 1 year. That was back in a generation when people actually stayed. You know, that was the thing back then. So I remember talking to my dad and saying, you know, I'll stay at least a year because I had a different vision for my life. I thought I was going to be a marriage and family therapist in private practice. And here I am 20 years later.
Wow. I love it. And what about you, Angela?
So I've been with Koinonia for over 8.5 years, which I'm excited about too.
Me too.
It does feel like a big deal to be somewhere for so long. And it's really been my main like professional job, but I've always loved working with children as well, and I've always been called to service. So my background, actually my degree was in political science, which is very interesting but fitting, I think, in a lot of ways. So I actually came to Koinonia through working with children. I did direct services with children, and the home I worked under was actually with a different agency. they wanted to move over quickly to Koinonia, and because the relationship was so strong and I love them and they love me and the kids, Sandy actually let us come over too, the staff that was in their home. So the story of how I got to Koinonia was actually pretty special, and actually pretty, it mirrors kind of how we do things, with relationship and honoring connections and things like that. So it's a pretty cool story. I followed the kids to Koinonia is basically what happened with me.
That's so special. So tell me about the services that Koinonia provides.
So Koinonia, it's when you look at our name, Foster Homes and Family Services. Our original calling and really the core of the business is foster care, treatment level foster care. In addition to that, though, in the family services side, we have day treatments that specialize with children who have mental health issues and needs. And we also have a psychiatric clinic and an outpatient clinic. So we have a broad range of services for people that they can come into the agency and receive all of their mental health services within the same agency.
Okay, so that's very different from other agencies. What else sets you apart from other agencies?
We feel that what really makes us different is what we've already talked about with you, and that's the relationships.
Yeah.
That when people come to Koinonia, they don't tend to leave.
Right.
And even to be completely candid, staff will tell us about 2 weeks after we hire them, they'll say, I've never worked at a place like this. It's just a different environment where we take the relationships very seriously, and we take the family relationship, the idea of being a family, that we're here together. And one thing that we say to each other on a regular basis is, what was our agreement? You know, what did I say? If I forget something that I've made an agreement, Angela can say to me, this was the agreement. Oh, that was my agreement. Okay, that's exactly what we're going to do. And that's exactly what we do with foster parents. That's what we do with staff. That's what we do with the children we serve.
Well, you're working in a very serious relationship-based type of work. So the fact that you guys have that value, I think, makes you very authentic. And I love that. So talk about the foster care system in Nevada. Tell me about it. What do people who have no idea of what's going on, what do we need to know?
That's a great question. So there are actually levels of care in foster care. There's family foster care, and then there's what's called treatment level foster care, which is now called specialized foster care. There's three regions of foster care in Nevada. There's the rural Nevada, and then there's Washoe County, and there's Clark County. Koinonia is in both rural Nevada and Washoe County. So if you want to work in what's called family foster care, you would be going directly with DCFS or Washoe County. And the support that they offer is just a different type of support, because we're in the home every single week and we're all tied to 24/7 cell phones. And that's a relationship. We're talking to most of our foster parents every single day, some of them three or four times a day, because they're dealing with children who have complex needs. When the state or county determines where children go, there is an assessment that they go through to try to determine if they really are better served in family foster care because they have less significant mental health needs, then the perfect situation is they'll go into that kind of a home. Then the other part of the perfect situation is if there's enough treatment level beds, and that's where the shortage is, if there's enough treatment level beds, then children who have more complex needs would be referred to an agency like ours and live in a treatment level foster home.
Okay, so what is a treatment level foster home?
So what makes it different is the amount of training and then the support that the agency provides for the rest of the relationship with the foster parent and the agency. It's very specific care in regard to trauma and their mental health needs and issues. And so the training is very specific now in terms of curriculums that we are now using that are so specific to trauma-informed care and making sure that kids are getting all of their needs met within the home.
So someone listening right now who might feel called to this act of service, like, what type of things should they be prepared for? How do you know if you are right to be a foster mother or father?
That's a great question. I love the question. So the very cool thing is you don't have to have it all now.
Okay.
It's a process of going through a very long conversation with Koinonia. So to come in to be a foster parent, I have people on my staff that would have an original conversation with you. But ultimately, before you're ever selected to be a foster parent with Koinonia, there's a mutual agreement between you and me where we sit down together and decide if it's a good fit. Then from there, there's a 6-month relationship. Sometimes it's 4, sometimes it's 12. Frankly, it has a lot to do with the parents and how quickly they move. But that 40 hours of pre-service training where we're just getting to know each other. And one of the things that we find that's most important in working with people to decide if they're good foster parents is really their ability to accept feedback. Are people open to new ideas? Are they open to training? Are they open to being open to having this relationship? Because if you don't want to be in relationship, Koinonia is not the agency for
you. Right.
So it's about knowing what's in your heart before you ever get there, because I can train you on the rest of it. But it's like you use the word calling. That's the way we feel too. Mm-hmm. If you have a calling and get that nudge to pick up the phone and talk to us, you're already on the right track.
Mm. Ooh, that's a good answer. So can you take me through the life of a foster care child, from examples of things that could have happened in their life to put them in foster care, and what is their experience like?
Beautiful. I'm feeling like I'm answering a lot of questions.
That's okay.
Do you want to go ahead and...
Sure. Their experience, our foster kids. Okay. All of our kids have experienced significant trauma just in that they were taken away from their biological parents. So even though that environment may not have been healthy for them, it's still a huge trauma. So there's a severed relationship right there. Within that home, a lot of our kids experience neglect, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. So when they come to us, which is usually months after really they've been in the system, they've had so much to deal with already.
Mm.
So that's kind of their pre-treatment level placement life. And then once they're placed, you know, then they have to adjust to a whole new way of life, a whole new way of structure, a new family, other children in the home. They're actually under quite a bit of pressure and stress just mm-hmm. within that new kind of environment in which they live. And then on a day-to-day basis, our kiddos, they do a lot of work. They do a lot of therapeutic work on a daily basis in the home and then with external services. So all of our kids go to therapy. All of our kids see psychiatrists generally. A lot of our kids are in specialized programs that Sandy mentioned earlier in regard to some of the programs Koinonia offers. So they work really hard, and they're expected to build a relationship, because that's what we foster, and that's what makes them successful, basically, is their relationship with their foster home.
Mm.
So it's a big journey that they have. And our parents, it's amazing to see our parents support them in that journey and really love them too.
What's the goal of foster care? Because it's not always that, you know, the foster care parents can then become the adoptive parents. So what is the goal happening in foster care?
Ultimately, that they're safe while they're with us. And then permanency comes in a lot of different ways. Permanency is not necessarily returning to their own home. It might be returning to a home. It might be a relative. It might be a neighbor or a teacher or a friend. Or it might be an adoption. The adoptions are not going to be nearly as high as other forms of permanency. And then the third part of the three-legged stool, safety, permanency, and well-being. So this whole idea that kids are living, especially in a place like Koinonia, our philosophy, and certainly my philosophy as the director of the agency, is I want kids to feel like they're living in a home mm-hmm. with a family. Even though they're in treatment level care, that it doesn't feel like a program or a facility. It's super important that kids have a home and a place that they think is theirs and that they can live there for as long as they need to live there. And we see that across our agency.
This is like a tough business to be in.
Mm.
But it also has to be rewarding as well. What are some of the rewarding experiences that you can share with us?
I think we've seen tremendous amounts of healing for our children. That's what I think that would be the end goal, really, for our foster kids, is to experience the healing. And that, again, I think happens through their connection with their family and whoever lives in that family, the foster family. I think that's, too, about matching. So the successes I see is when we're able to match a kiddo who's coming from the shelter to a home that we know very well, we know their strengths, and then we just see this relationship flourish.
Mm.
So we've seen many, many, many examples of kids attaching and really settling into homes. I think that the change we see through that is really rewarding.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Well, and for me, it's like every day. it's not just what happens with the kids, the great things that happen with the kids. It's the great things that happen with parents who are transformed. When their lives are transformed, working with kids, mm-hmm. you see, like in the pre-service process, and you see the light bulb go on. So there's research that shows that if a child has one person who has a gleam in their eye for the child, that child will make it. So that's what we want to see, and that's what we have as staff. And Angela's a great example. We have children who are no longer with us that she still sees informally because she formed relationships when they were in foster care, and some of them are over 18 now.
Oh, yeah.
They come into our offices. They come and check in, to come and get a drink of water, and they show up out of nowhere, and here they are. So it's like our lives are transformed, too, mm-hmm. as staff. The foster parents' lives are transformed. And Angela talked about that calling to service. That's the kind of person who's attracted to Koinonia. And when you have a sense of meaning, a sense of calling, you use the word calling, that's, for me, what's the rewarding part. Because it's that we're all in this together, and we're here to love children, but we're here to love each other as well. And that community focus makes a difference in how we're able to live our lives.
What is the need for foster parents mm-hmm. in Northern Nevada right now?
It's through the roof.
Okay.
Actually, right now there is approximately 950 children in foster care in Washoe County. And that number had actually gone all the way down to 600.
Wow.
And gradually the number has gone back up over the last couple of years. And they're not entirely sure with a clear analysis of why that's happening. Now, Washoe County is the experts, and if they were sitting with you today, I'm sure they would give a better answer than I can give. But what we know is that the need is so great that we can't even begin to provide the number of homes and beds that we need for children.
So what is happening when we don't have enough room? Like, where are those kids?
Well, they can be, some of those children are in kids' cottage. That's the first place a child ends up after they've been pulled from their biological family or some other unsafe environment. But kids' cottage, by law, has an absolute maximum of where those kids can go, and it's 80. And if it goes above that, it's like they have to scramble to find a bed anywhere in the system they can. So you might see a child who needs treatment-level services, but that's in a family foster home. The county just scrambles, and frankly, the county does an amazing job.
Yeah.
Koinonia, what we do is spend our time recruiting homes, but not everybody is a good match for us, and we want to make sure that we have good matches because that's super important.
Yeah.
Angela talked about that before, that it's not about just finding a bed for a child. It's finding the right bed for that child so that we don't have another disruption, another move for that child. The research is really clear about that, that every time there's a disruption, if a child has to move to another school, for example, that child loses 9 months of academics by moving. So we really want to see stability in homes for kids, and we take that very seriously and keep it nice and calm.
So how is Koinonia getting funded? Is it federal? Are you guys writing grants, private, both?
Actually, our contract is through DCFS in Washoe County, and we have a contracted rate that they pay us back. We do work on fundraising, and some of that money trickles down through the federal government to the state and then down to the county.
Okay, fabulous. And what type of support is our foster parents receiving from the state?
Mm-hmm. From the state in terms of?
Like, what financially are they taking on when they become a foster parent?
Great question. Each family, regardless of whether they're with the state or Koinonia or the county, there's a reimbursement. It's considered a reimbursement, and there are different rates for each level of care, and ultimately it covers everything that the child would need, the clothing, the food, the transportation, shelter, incidentals, and really I think that there's a fair rate that's being paid to families. And then if necessary, if there's other needs that are necessary for children, we go out and we look for other funds to help with those kinds of things as well.
Yeah, because I was wondering, how is health care being provided?
Great question. The Medicaid, all of our kids in foster care receive Medicaid.
Okay.
And frankly, it's amazing insurance. The things that kids get through the Medicaid system will blow your mind.
So somebody who is listening right now and wants to look further into it with you guys, who do they reach out to? How do they get involved?
You know what? Call our office, Koinonia, 826-1113, and just let us know that you want to be a foster parent, and one of us will take that call and start that conversation with you.
Beautiful. And what processes and, like, licensing do they need to go through with DCFS? There's a couple workshops, right?
Well, if they're with DCFS?
I don't know if there's, like, I don't know what the process is, but I know when I had the department in here, they were promoting workshops that they had. It's like a 9-hour something right. over the weekend, and right. then by the end, you're certified.
Right. Yeah. It's a pre-service training, mm-hmm. and okay. it's less if you go with the state or the county than if you go with a treatment level agency, but okay. not a lot less. It's the difference between 27 hours and 40 hours. The reason we don't do it quickly is because we want that information to ingest.
Got it.
And more than the information being ingested, it's the relationship that we're building. The research is really clear that you remember about 10% of what you hear and 90% of what you say. So we spend a lot of time in conversation in pre-service training and even after and when you're in post-service, because it's hard to remember all the things that you learn in training. A lot of it happens after the placement of your first child. And then we go back and we say, oh, yeah, do you remember when we talked about this or remember when we talked about that? Because it's a learning process as you go.
Okay. And is there a limit that you can have as on how many kids that you can foster?
Usually we'd like to see new families with one or two children in the
okay.
home. But I have families that have way more than that in their homes. They've got experience. They might be a sibling group. And again, that's an individual conversation with every family. It's based on the configuration of their family, the children that they might already have in their home, their bed space as far as bedrooms and square footage in the home. There's a lot of factors in that because ultimately you're not only looking for a safe placement, you're looking for a great placement.
And I heard that the qualifications from the state or whatever to – I heard somebody say like, oh, you have to be married, and then it turned out you don't have to be married.
You don't have to.
What things do you have to be able to do? Is there an income requirement?
Yeah. Ultimately, you are supposed to have an income coming into your home that is not just the foster income.
Okay.
And again, that's a conversation with people. We have people that are single but have a little side business. There are other things that not everyone works out of the home. And in fact, a lot of our parents don't work, but there might be a second partner in the home.
Yeah. Okay. So you have to have a certain size home?
Yeah, but again, it's 200 square feet per person,
okay.
and they've taken that out of the regs, and so that's kind of like a guideline. It used to be a law, now it's a guideline.
Okay.
So
some of these things are getting a little more flexible.
Yeah, there's reasons for that.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up, ladies?
Honestly, I want to thank you.
Yeah.
And
thank
I you. Just want to tell you that your bright light and how that affects people like us makes us want to sit here with you today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Please reach out to Koinonia, your guys' website, kfhnv.org
mm-hmm.
or kfh.org.
Correct.
For the shorter one, which will then lead you to the Nevada one.
Right. So can I even tell you, kfh.org and why we put them both is that we're actually doing our own Nevada website right now,
okay.
just now getting it up, and that's the KFHNV, because things are a little bit different in California, and they do... People get a little bit confused.
Okay.
And so that's why we're trying to develop a website, and that's where that second one comes from.
All right. KFHNV.org. Sandy, Angela, want to thank you so much. Andrew, for setting this up and coming in here today.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I want to thank you guys so much for everything that you do for this community. If you're listening right now and you feel at all the call to look more into being a foster parent, please reach out to Koinonia. And if you know a nonprofit event or organization that would benefit from some time on air with me, you can email me at publicaffairs@wilksreno.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Thank you.